Kansas City Chiefs today released renderings of their new $3 billion stadium in Kansas City, Kansas, that's expected to open in 2031. The 70,000-seat stadium basically looks like Arrowhead, only with a translucent roof on top. Anyway, in Major League Baseball, the Pittsburgh Pirates, a 3-0 lead over the Yankees in the bottom of the seventh inning in Game 1 of a doubleheader on a 2-run home run by Jacob Gonzalez with a Z and a solo home run by Nick Gonzalez with an S. The Boston Red Sox up 6-2 over the Baltimore Orioles after 5, also Game 1 of a doubleheader there. In Milwaukee, the Brewers have a 3-1 advantage over the New York Mets in the top half of the third.
Fox Sports Update on the Right Choice, KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar & Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your Agribusiness Update. Well, the California Avocado Commission Board of Directors is seeking candidates for its alternate public member position. MorningEclipse.com reports the board is composed of 16 individuals serving as producers, handlers, and public members. Candidates should have experience in public service, food safety, health, nutrition, marketing, education, or other relevant areas. Interested candidates should submit their resumes to cac.iaf@avocado.org by August 17th. Well, the Trump administration announced new 25% tariffs on a range of Brazilian imports, but excluded several major agricultural products. The tariffs that took effect July 22nd cover products such as machinery, furniture, sugar, and ethanol following a U.S. investigation into Brazilian trade practices. Key commodities not produced in sufficient quantities domestically, including coffee, beef, and some aerospace components, were exempted. Brazil condemned the actions as politically motivated. Well, global grain supplies are expected to tighten in the 2026-27 marketing year despite forecasts for another large worldwide harvest, according to the International Grains Council. The council reduced its global grain production forecast by 4 million metric tons and lowered its projected ending stocks to 610 million tons, largely tied to smaller expected inventories of corn and wheat. Reuters reports while global production remains historically high, shrinking inventories could leave importers more vulnerable to supply disruptions.
Replenish nutrients in your crops to reach stronger yields at harvest. Utilize PK from Helena as a foliar nutrient system designed to boost plant performance during reproduction. It gives your crop the extra energy it needs during critical growth stages to increase uptake and utilization of soil and foliar applied nutrients. Visit HelenaAgri.com to learn how Utilize PK can impact your success this season. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
For the last 40 years, the Ag Information Network has been the source of news for farmers and ranchers. Yet we have never seen such an assault on farming and our food supply as we do today. From fuel to fertilizer, farmers are facing unprecedented economic challenges. This is why agriculture news that farmers receive comes from the Ag Information Network, reaching coast to coast. Deep roots in farming and decades of reporting, the Ag Information Network, trusted and transparent journalism for generations.
With your Agribusiness Update, I'm Bob Larson.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are mixed in afternoon trading as tech stocks struggle for direction as investors look ahead to the first major big tech earnings reports to gauge the sustainability of the AI-driven market rally. Alphabet, the first of the so-called Mag 7 megacap tech stocks, will be reporting after the bell today for fresh evidence that these companies' multi-billion dollar investments in AI are paying off. And Tesla already reported growth in autos and energy sales for the second quarter, setting it up for strong results when it releases its earnings after the bell today. Shares of Supermicro Computer are surging 24% after the AI server projected fourth quarter gross margins much higher than originally forecast. And shares of AT&T are up 2%, the telecom giant reporting upbeat earnings for the recent quarter, with its revenue driven by growth in postpaid phone and internet services. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Today I'm going to talk a little bit more about education, just to get something off my chest. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
In this political season, there's been some talk about the need to increase federal aid to education. Indeed, the National Education Association proclaims a crisis in education, which can only be met by massive infusions of billions of federal dollars. Well, however you define crisis, we can at least agree in the last 20 years, the quality of education has declined by anyone's standard. Scores in college entrance exams have fallen continuously until last year they reached an all-time low. But can this be laid to inflation or reduced spending? In these 20 years, inflation has raised the cost of things 57.2%. The average cost of educating a pupil in the public schools has gone up 211%. The total cost in constant dollars has gone up four times as much as enrollment. The number of school employees has increased 2.5 times as much as the increase in enrollment. But significantly, the increase in non-teaching employees, administrators, etc., is up 4 times as much. There are fewer pupils per teacher and fewer per classroom. In what has been called the most thorough study of the public schools ever made, Dr. James Coleman of Johns Hopkins University says there is no relationship or ratio between the quality of education and class size or the number of pupils per teacher or cost of teacher salary. Well, if the National Education Association is wrong and a shortage of money isn't to blame, how do we explain the drop in quality? May I suggest the possibility that educators tinkering with the system, their eyes on a brave new world which they were going to build right in the classroom, just may have tossed out some pretty tried and true fundamentals. We've all been aware of the educationist claims that the old-fashioned reading, writing, and arithmetic was no longer relevant. School was going to mold the now generation into world citizens, free of prejudice, hostility, or even a competitive instinct. Why did we let their theories go without argument? Why did none of us point out that mankind has made more advances in virtually every field in the last 25 or 30 years than in all of history up to the present? It doesn't take a genius to figure out that the men and women responsible for those advances got their education in the old-fashioned system the educationists are so determined to scrap. Are we to believe those who harnessed the atom, took us to the moon, gave us the miracles of computers, electronics, jet travel, and an end to so many crippling and death-dealing diseases, did all of this in spite of their education? Someone in those old-fashioned schools that are so despised by today's elitists must have done something right. Let me add a postscript. Yesterday, I mentioned the old-fashioned McGuffey's readers that were standard in our schools for more than half a century. Fourth graders read the Sermon on the Mount, King Solomon and the Ants by Whittier, Alfred the Great, and the history of the United Netherlands. Little Johnny could read then. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter for Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And last week, I think it was last Wednesday, I broke a story. Video depicts violent beating of homeless man in Arroyo Grande. There was an assault. There were two young men in Arroyo Grande who actually went out. They weren't at a bar walking home drunk. This was two men. It was 21-year-old Boyes Brigham and 18-year-old Malachi Hayes. Anyway, one of them, the younger, back when he was a teen, had another incident with a homeless person where he stabbed a man. But now he's 18, and they don't look at things that happen before you turn 18. So when you turn 18, you can do, it's and you're not on probation, you pretty well have a clean slate. There is an issue in Arroyo Grande. I looked at videos last week. There was a group of about 10 to 12 young teens. They looked like junior high school or early high school age boys on bicycles. They went down to an area where homeless sleep, and they were throwing sticks and rocks at the homeless people saying, "Go away, tweakers," and then they ran off. And this literally happened after this man... this happened last week after the story came out, and these were young people, and they absolutely felt that they had a right to do this. So what we have is on March 20th, shortly after 1 a.m., these two young men leave their apartment, and they go nearby the park, and they stand there and talk. There's cameras on almost everything, and then they also videotape themselves doing some of the assault. The young people then, the young men then, one of them walked over and urinated. Boyes Brigham urinated on Douglas Mark. You know, an elder, how old are you, Douglas?
68.
A 68-year-old man sleeping in the park, and he urinates on him. When he wakes up, he becomes kicking and hitting him. His buddy Malachi is filming on his phone, laughing, joking, filming, and then he comes over and he joins in and also kicks and hits. As they're kicking, the one man's shoe, he's kicking him in the head, flies off. He runs over, puts it back on, turns to leave and sees that he moved a little bit, and goes over and knocks him out cold with a last kick before they leave. He is continuing to suffer traumatic brain injury. He probably will never recover, has memory loss, has constant headaches. And again, this happened some time ago. Both men pleaded guilty. Both men pleaded guilty and were only given, because again, they're 18 and 21, And because they are under 26 and they don't have adult records, they decided to give them only one year in county jail, which means 6 months. If you act well in county jail, you spend 6 months. And then 4 years probation. But here's the thing. They then went back and they were bragging about their hands. You can go on to Cal Coast News and look at the video. You can look at the pictures. You have to click over to YouTube. You can see their bloody shoes, their bloody hands. And they're laughing and joking and bragging about what they did. And then they posted it on social media as if this was a good thing. And again, remember, there's groups of teens that target and harass homeless in Arroyo Grande. I haven't seen it in other parts of the county, but it is happening in Arroyo Grande. And we're going to be talking today with the victim, Douglas Mark. There is an Arroyo Grande man, Michael Federico. And Mike, do you go by Mike or Michael?
Either one. Easy.
Mike then has a property with a trailer on it. He gave him a place to live. They've now put a GoFundMe together. They're trying to help him get out of homelessness. He has suffered a traumatic brain injury. He has trouble remembering things and constant headaches. So there is a group of people trying to help him. But there's another big issue here. When you do a violent crime and you end up getting a slap on the wrist because of your age, or because since you turned 18, your record of knifing a man before for being homeless does not count, and you're going to spend 6 months in jail. I was at a court case where a man got 7 years for stealing a bicycle out of a garage when the home was occupied, because that's called an occupied burglary, a robbery. I think it's burglary. He got 7 years in jail. But in this case, you beat a man till he was unconscious and he'll never recover, and you're going to spend 6 months in jail. The one thing, though, that might be their big downfall is the judge also said no social media for the 4 years you're on probation. And when you're addicted to posting your violent assaults on social media, that can lead to problems. And again, after these young men pleaded guilty, a group of young teens or under teens were hunting homeless in Arroyo Grande and filming themselves and posting it. This is a problem in this area. Mark, I'm going to have you go. I want you to introduce yourself, and you got to talk right into the mic.
Yep. Hi there. My name is Douglas, and I'm the victim, I suppose you'd call him, of this attack. And you know, it's the mindset of, you know, the homeless are less than human. And it's not like I'm a big homeless person that's, you know, on the street. I just trying to get by, you know. And for them to come and attack me in such a fashion is really, and it's coming, you know, from their parents. Like when I went to the hospital with this, I was there for about 3 or 4 hours. They kicked my head in. I was, four times they kicked me in the head. And the hospital people put me back on the street about 3 or 4 hours later with a piece of paper in my pocket telling me, you know, where I was to seek further treatment. But I can remember a time when they'd say, you know, maybe you should sit here for 6 hours, or you know, just let us look at you for a while because you suffered a brain injury, a head injury. No, they just put me on the street, walking down the street about 7:38 in the morning. And
to go back to the park on your own.
Yeah. And at one point, I could hear them in the other room, the medical personnel, and they go, oh, yeah, assault, homeless. And I go, what does homeless have to do with medical treatment? But that's the way it operates around here, I guess.
I don't think that's the way it actually operates. And I remember probably 12 years ago when Sam Blakesley pushed changing the law on letting homeless out with injuries. I think there's actually a law. When you're suffering a traumatic brain injury and there's no room in the shelters there, I do not think they're supposed to just let you go.
Well, they put me back on the street, and about a week and a half after this happened, my headache, and I've had a headache nonstop since the time of the assault. That's all there is to it. And my headache got worse one day, about a week and a half after the assault, and I went to bed, and I woke up in the morning, my eye, right eye was all full of blood. So I went back to the hospital, and they said, oh, yeah, it's post-concussion, you know, da, da. And they just put me back out on the street, and it's happened again since then in my left eye, and it's kind of...
Doug has a, this is Mike, Doug has a neurology appointment at the end of this month on the 30th that we're excited to see, you know, finally get a scan and so forth.
And that was Michael Federico. He is the person that is helping him right now. We have a caller. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
I think the gentleman needs to contact California Rural Assistance League and see if they can't take those kids to court and get a judgment against them. Because then if they get a judgment against them, it can be filed in a criminal case as a judgment in restitution. That's even non-dischargeable in bankruptcy.
The DA is doing that. They have a restitution hearing.
Such a judgment is non-dischargeable in bankruptcy. And I've done that. They can't get away from that judgment. Okay?
Thank you very much for calling in.
Okay. Good luck.
And that is you know, one of the things. But one of the problems here is these two young men don't have any money. And even more interesting, the one young man, the one that is the 21-year-old Boys Brigham, he was, I think he had six or eight siblings. His parents moved out of state to the other side of the country, and when he was 16, and they left the three oldest kids to fend for themselves. He became homeless as a teen, ended up getting a job from a relative in construction, did not graduate high school, and knows what it's like to have to be down and out for a moment. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Well, I would like to bring up a couple of issues. One issue is that it doesn't exist anymore, but it was called California Youth Authority. And when a juvenile commits a crime and he's under 26 years of age, Youth Authority is the area that he'd go. But now it goes to the Department of Corrections that has an element of it that deals with youth. Now, that is what the defense and lawyers used in order to get them such leniency. But what we have to remember is it is the name of that particular judge, and we should all know, and for the future, keep that name in mind whenever it comes up, because this was unacceptable and should have never happened. And I'm just appalled at it.
And part of the problem right now is they are pushing these laws that promote lower sentences. I was upset when the man got 7 years for stealing a bike. I thought there was nobody in the garage. I thought there are times that I go to court and I think the sentence is too light. But when you have a physical assault, you know, of someone, and you're doing it on purpose, and the judges are acting as if it's, you have a siren going by you, that's better. And when the judges are acting as if it's not a big deal. But we're going to have Dan Dow on the last half hour of the show, and he's going to go over the way he feels about some of the violent crimes. That we just had someone else get out, and I'll bring this up with Dan, but we just had someone that stole a car from an elderly man, ran over his legs, and then hit him so hard he got a brain injury, and the judge let them out of jail without bail. Own recognizance. Wow. That just happened a couple days ago. So there is this, we have those times when they start looking the other way for certain things. And it used to be assault and rapes were two of those things that were considered really bad in child molestation. And right now there are some that are just not at the same level.
I agree, but when we have bleeding heart social workers that are judges, then, you know, we want our judges to make good, sound, clear decisions based on the evidence, not on their heart or what they feel. We want it on the on facts and what the law states. And it was pretty obvious that what these young men did was premeditated. They did it. They bragged about it. And they wanted to share it so that other kids would do the same thing. And so we, as a community, have to say, guess what? This is unacceptable, and this is what happens when you do it. That's my thought on it.
And, you know, you're right. This is Mike again. The judge, she, you know, gave a delineated list of all of the regulations and criteria for sentencing as to why she was doing this. And you brought up another number, 26, which is a little bit shocking to me that somebody under 26 is considered, you know, a youth or what, or deserves a bit of your, if you want to talk to the mic.
At 16, you can be tried as an adult, but at 23, you can't be punished as an adult. Come on.
And we've got a lot of, I'm gonna let you go. Thank you for calling in. We've got a lot of background noise coming through your phone. Thank you for calling in.
Okay.
Yeah, and I do think that is one of the things that's going on in society right now. Our district attorney's office is actually pushing for stronger penalties, stronger bail. It's different. You steal a bike, you do something that wasn't, there are certain things that getting out on your own recognizance, especially when people don't have money, is more fair. But on the violent assaults, and when you have somebody that is suffering a brain injury and they let the other person either get a very short sentence or right out on bail without it, own recognizance, it causes a lot of problems. But what? Let's talk about what happened to you. So you're at the you're sleeping at the park, and you used to work. You had a job for most of your life. You worked in landscape architecture, correct?
Yes.
And then you also worked in the media for making movies?
Well, no, but in construction. In the construction.
Yeah, the set design.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of work, and it's a good life. And so things didn't, you had some issues, and you end up, how long were you staying at the park when this occurred?
Oh, shucks. I went there because it's the only place I knew where to charge my phone and my bike light and things like that. And then one thing turned, and there was a cat there that lived in, and it had udders or whatever. And I started taking care of the cat, and it was something to care about and something that depended on me. And so, you know, I was there for part of better side of a year, you know, but I didn't always stay there. I just, when it was raining or something, you had to get under the out of the rain. There's a canopy there, the awning, the gazebo, and so that's how I ended up there.
And had you ever had any interaction with either of these young men before this?
No.
Have you ever had any young person harass you in Arroyo Grande before?
Not really. I mean, you know, where you don't have to be homeless. You can just walk down the street with long hair and people yell at you. But I've not really had a problem as far as being persecuted because I'm, quote, homeless.
And to be quite honest, you don't look homeless. I've had homeless on my show before where they appeared homeless, and this is going to sound horrid. There were smells that were not pleasant in here.
Right.
And you do not look or appear homeless in any way.
Well, I try to keep some dignity and some, you know, it's not that hard to, it's like a 24/7 job actually, but to stay clean and presentable is, you know, something I endeavor to do. And
you've been, even while you were homeless, I heard you were still doing landscaping and gardening for certain people in the community.
You know what, the day after this happened, I didn't have to, but I went to work, and I had a broken rib, a gnarly concussion, and several stitches in my head. But again, you got to stay alive. And the guy I was working for, he just take the day off. Don't worry. I go, dude, please let me work. I need the money. And so that's the next day I had to work for 6 or 7 hours. And man, it wasn't easy.
And what we're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more with Doug and Michael. And then Dan Dow will be calling in later in the show.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
The California Mid-State Fair in Paso Robles is proud to present Treaty Oak Revival. July 23rd, the California Mid-State Fair in Paso Robles. With special guest William Clark Green. Get tickets now at midstatefair.com and ticketmaster.com. Treaty Oak Revival.
West Ends is the general.
Treaty Oak Revival.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. We're talking about one of an issue in our society right now. Are young people thinking it is sport to hunt and attack the homeless? There was a violent assault in Arroyo Grande. It happened earlier this year. About a week and a half ago, the two assailants admitted to what they had done. They were sentenced to 1 year in county jail, which will be 6 months, based largely on their ages. And actually, a youth is only until 18 in most respects. Some reasons they say 21, but if you're under 26, we have laws on the books right now that say if you're under 26 and you don't have a criminal history, but the problem is if you just turned 18, they don't look at your criminal history before 18. I was told by someone that had known the one assailant in this case that he also was convicted as a teenager of stabbing a homeless man. So this is a man who has violently assaulted someone because they're homeless and for no other reason. We have a text message. Treated as a juvenile until they are 26 years old? Question. I became a police officer when I was 23. Legally, one can be as young as 21. And I do agree, you're legally an adult at 18. I do understand some people mature slower. And I think on some things, I do agree with the judges saying, you know, you're 19 years old, you're not mature. But there's a difference between a violent, these men were high-fiving, they were laughing, they were bragging about it in videos they posted on social media. They were excited, they were bragging that their knuckles were covered in blood. They were bragging that their shoes were covered in blood. These were not young men that did this because they were mad. They went out hunting and then attacked the man and then thought it was fun to put it on social media. Now, Michael, how did you find out this happened, and what motivated you to help Douglas have a place to live while he gets recovers from this assault.
Right. I have a friend, Adrian, who lived with me on the property, and he worked for AG Parks and knew Doug that way. So invited Doug over for barbecue, and he's fun. He was interesting. He's well-read. I hired him for some, you know, taking care of my place a bit with the orchard and gardens and such. And it was awesome. He transformation, immediate transformation of the property. So it was, you know, it's kind of this mutually beneficial thing. But yeah, I called him after Doug moved away, and Adrian moved away, and I called Doug probably a week and a half after this happened. And he lays his story on me, and I said, I'll just come pick you up. So he stayed with me for a couple of days until I ended up with a trailer, got a trailer for him. And, I'm kind of trying to help him get through some of this stuff with the court, and we're talking things out and commiserating about it. But I'm wondering if maybe the ulterior motives or information, and I'm sure Dan Dow can speak to this, of, you know, the monetization and privatization of our, incarceration situation. And maybe these people are being told, stop sending us all these, maybe there's an overcrowding issue, as I guess what I'm saying.
There was an overcrowding issue, but there's not now. They lowered a bunch of the theft crimes to just like you get a citation. Drug stores folded. Private businesses folded. It had a massive effect on the community. So then they passed some laws to make those types of things crimes again. But currently, you actually have people that are trying to take away, for example, sexual assaults on children if the assailant is within 10 years age of the person. So you're an adult and you sexually assault an adult. That's one thing. But if you're an adult and you do a crime against a child and they're within 10 years of you, they want you to be able to run for office and it not to be considered as bad a crime. I don't know why these things happen. It's actually in the legislature right now.
It's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
It's going through the legislature right now.
A 20-year-old can assault a 10-year-old? And it's within over, that tenure?
It's 14 and above.
Okay.
So if a 24-year-old has sex with a 14-year-old, lures them in, tells them, meet them on Snapchat, and that's considered a felony. But in this law, it's a law being promoted right now by Don Addis to make people... So it used to be a felon could not vote. Then they changed it to felons unless you've done these five crimes or whatever. And then they said, wait a minute, rapists and sexual assailants and child molesters can vote, and they should not be allowed to vote. And then Don Addis changed it to put the 10-year, to change it to if you're within 10 years of the assailant. I don't know why they do these things. I don't know. And then you'll have the problems because they lower crimes and then they make other crimes higher. It's a problem. And when we have Dan Dow on the show later, he is going to talk. He's promoting when you've had a physical violent assault of any kind, there needs to be higher penalties.
You know, and the other element that she brought up, that the judge brought up, was that they confessed, and Doug can talk
to this.
That's
what kills me. They had no choice. They said, oh, well, they stepped forward and admitted what they did. You know, no. The kid had to get a lawyer and then go in and get his bail reduced from $150,000 to $50,000. And then the judge says, they've not been in any previous trouble. Well, okay, if you can't, when the kid stabs a guy when he's 17 and then they can't enter it into evidence when he's 18, that's his.
But the judge knows this. The judge knows that.
Right.
It's not like they're keeping it out of court.
But
they're just keeping the...
She has to ignore the previous history
right.
To the point where she goes over the deep end on the other direction. Well, we won't punish you at all then. It's just too much.
We're going to have to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more with Doug and Michael, and then Dan Dow will be joining us later in the show.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.